symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell. As always, I'm joined by the man himself, the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of that dreaded spine buster. He's the 1A of tag team wrestling. He's my tag team partner. He's the 2024 Frank Gotch Award winner. And as of last week, the old Arn Anderson is back to his dastardly ways. He's the enforcer. He's AA. He's Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you this week?
I told him, be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
I don't know how I can warn you anymore.
He's back. And if you're not following his career journey, you need to be following it now, because July 94 just went down last week, and he grabbed Dustin Rhodes' head and put it right through the canvas as only he can.
And afterwards, didn't we break a bone or two?
Oh, yeah. And we're going to get into that in some upcoming shows. So you got to listen to find out more about the rat bastard, Arn Anderson. Am I okay to say that without getting
caught? Bet. You bet. Okay. And I thrive on being a rat bastard.
It's so good to see you, buddy. I've missed you.
It's all I know, really, to be honest with you. To say that I'm good at anything else, no.
Nah. But he's good at being a rat bastard. If you want to see Arn live in person, the rat bastard that I've come to know and love, you can, by the way, because there's a couple events we wanted to mention right at the top of the show. This is our favorite episode to do, by the way, every month. It is Ask Arn Almost Anything. And you know what, Arn? I can't wait to see what these guys have come up to ask you. There's so much going on right now in wrestling. Who knows what they're going to ask you?
But we have audience.
We do. They're the best. They DM me, hit me up, and are always complimentary of the show, complimentary of you, and just your entertaining stories, and just really getting to dive in and hear about your career through your eyes, through your perspective now. So it's just great to be a part of this. Arn, Dublin, Georgia, Brock versus John Skyler, Emerald City Fight Night, March 2nd, as we said last week, be there. It's going to be a big night for Brock, a return match for him. You're going to be there in his corner. Talk to us about Emerald City Fight Night on March 2nd.
Yeah, he was very, very young in the business, very inexperienced. Got taught a little bit of a lesson that night. He is still green, as we know. It takes you about 4 or 5 years of regular wrestling to really get it if you have such aptitude and attitude. Mr. Schuyler will be seeing a different Brock. He's put on some size, some strength, taught him a thing or two about being a rat bastard. And my friend, who I always enjoy hugging his neck, Laser, will be there. Probably several other folks I'm looking forward to seeing, but I don't want to advertise them and something happens. So we'll be there a couple hours before show starts. Sign some of these.
Look, I did it right on cue, Arn.
You're the man. And there will be, as you're listening to this podcast, you should be able to almost follow through this book and see that the two match up as far as lives.
But the beauty of the book is you get to look at the pictures that have been illustrated to represent the book and the stories. And I love it because Arn, they made you look like an absolute stud muffin throughout this book. Have you noticed that? Your physique, your hairline. I mean, you look incredible.
Well, they got the physique right anyway.
Oh man, it's so good. So well done. And if you don't have the book, you need the book. You need to get it autographed by Arn himself. And he has them in hand, as he likes to say, at these conventions. So make sure you check it out. There's all kinds of other people that make appearances in this book. It would be cool to have this book And like, you know, I open it up and to this page specifically, I don't know if you can see, but here's your old friend, Tony Schiavone, interviewing you. There's nothing to say that you can't get Tony Schiavone to maybe put on a little autograph here on the arm book too, right? You could get this loaded with signatures if you wanted.
Brilliant idea, of course.
Yeah. So there's an opportunity to kind of get this thing filled up with other wrestlers. There's a picture here at the top here where it's the Four Horsemen all gathered together. Might not be an idea to fill that side up. You got J.J. Dillon down here and the rest of the gang. Have them all sign this. What a key. Could you imagine the collector's item that this would be if you got this with all the guys that make appearances in here and their autographs aren't very special?
I would say pretty stout.
Oh, so good. You're also going to be at GalaxyCon, Richmond, Virginia, March 15th, 16th, and 17th. Arn, is this you and Brock once again?
Which days did you say?
March 15th, 16th, and 17th, GalaxyCon in Richmond.
That is correct. Brock will be with me there. That's going to be a really big one. Richmond's a great wrestling town. So that will be 3 full days of hugging necks and shaking hands and telling stories and
hopefully collecting some Hershey bars with almonds too. That'd be good.
Yeah,
we need to get back to that for you, Arn. It's time to refill the sugar cabinets again.
We kind of took a break, but we're going to be there 3 days. You know, wake up during the night when those Hershey bars laying on the counter there don't suck.
It's time to restock the sugar cabinet. All right. Take care of our man. Sweeten him up.
Okay.
I'm here for you. Come on.
Okay.
You're not going to get who's going to get mad when they turn to the left and turn to the right and just see Hershey bar sitting on both sides. Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. Come on. Guys, listen, so take care of our man, the Enforcer. Grab his book, grab him a Hershey bar, and it'll make everybody's day. Also, before we move on to our first questions, check out the store, arnlinks.com. It's going to have the link to the Horseman merch site. Of course, I got that TV title sweatshirt on right now, my Horseman hat. You're sporting your double A shirt, which I love. By the way, I do see you sporting your shirts at the wrestling school, Lodi's. Is it Lodi's wrestling school that you guys go to? I started following his school on Instagram, and I've been keeping up with you. There's pictures of you there in the wrestling school for Monday nights and certain nights that you go to the school there. You guys go there quite a bit.
Well, that's where Brock started.
Very nice.
You know, that was his very first stepping inside the ropes and doing anything. He was his first trainer.
Yeah.
And an excellent trainer. He's patient with the kids. He starts at ground zero, teaches them from the ground up. And there with Brock, there's a few guys there with more experience than him, which is always a good thing. That's who you learn from. And so we go over twice a week, and usually Monday and Wednesday. And they got a pretty good crowd, sometimes 20 students. So for those that don't know who I am, which are most of them that are too young, I wear a shirt to let them know who I am.
Well, they need to get the old Peacock Network, WWE, and start digging in if they don't know who you are, or YouTube or something. We need to get these kids going. Come on.
I might have been facetious on that.
I was gonna say it's like, let's stop playing video games, kids, and let's let's start watching some old school wrestling. Arn, we got to get into this week's episode because we have so many questions. I already know we're not gonna get to them all, but we'll do our best. We saved some questions from last month we didn't get to, so we'll get into those as well. But I wanted to talk about Waterloo, Iowa. This is gonna be a heck of a weekend in the middle of the summer. Myself, it will be in attendance. You, Aaron, Brock, we're working on all the details now. We'll all be there. One of our listeners, Travis Bobcock, commented on our post. He said, not a question, but I started going to the George Tragos Luthez Hall of Fame weekend in 2022. And as a lifelong wrestling fan, I will go every year from now on. It's an absolutely amazing experience and a must do at least once for any wrestling fan. They've made a few changes for this year's autograph session and Hall of Fame banquet, which will both be on Friday in the live wrestling show and a few other things that will be on Saturday. I hope that helps you guys a little bit, and I can't wait to see you guys in Waterloo in July. Arn, we are familiar with the schedule now. Thank you, Travis. But Friday night's your big induction. We have requested the person to induct you, which we won't make everyone aware of now. It'll be a nice surprise. And maybe we'll talk about it as we get closer. They're confident that that's going to work out for you. And then Brock is going to be wrestling as well that weekend, which we're excited about. There'll be autograph time. This is going to be a happening, my friend.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, it's going back and reading through the history of that. It's what an honor. What an honor it is. Shivani's going to be getting the announcers Gordon Solie Award.
Yes.
That's huge. Tom Pritchard is getting the trainer award.
Oh, which, what a weekend, man. I'm so pumped.
You know, I'm just wondering, they nailed the other two. I'm just wondering how I wormed my way in there. But
Dr. Tom Pritchard, Tony Schiavone, and Arn Anderson. Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
Well, we? One thing's for sure. We all love this business, and we'll do anything we can to see that it flourishes on and contribute the best we can.
It's going to be happening, guys. Be there. I'm telling you, all the profits that go from the wrestling show go to the Hall of Fame. They continue to build that up and create a great experience. Check it out. You want to be there live. Our man is going to put on, have a speech ready for his induction. So we're really excited about that. With that said, it's time to get to ask Arn almost anything. And here we go. Up first, we start with the first lady of the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Miss Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Yep, great to always hear from you, Amy. And she wants to know, who drives when you and Brock travel together to events?
I do.
You're the driver.
I drive no matter who I'm traveling with, even if it's their car.
Really? They're like, Arn, here's my keys.
Well, I've certainly got the most miles. I got the most experience, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say so.
Knock on wood without any issues. And yeah, I always drive.
I've been around Shivani a little bit, and he likes to also drive too. He's a driver.
I haven't made a trip with Tony in quite some time.
Okay.
I would be all right with Tony driving.
It's funny to hear you guys that have been up and down the roads. You guys like to be the drivers. That's just something that you like to do at this point in your life.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can stay plugged in to the trip and awake and everything if I'm driving. If I sit over in the passenger seat, now it becomes my responsibility to be awake and alert. And because shotgun, you make sure that driver don't doze off. Because if he does, guess what? Everybody gets it.
That's true. So and anytime you and Arn go somewhere on trip, it's Arn. Here's the key. Arn's driving. There you go. Yeah. All right.
You know, well, and you know, this is a roundabout way of it, but she didn't see great at night, you know?
Okay.
So I don't have to argue that much with her. Now I have to argue with her sometimes on the trip up in the daylight. It's the return trip that.
And none of your stuff with your neck or any of that bothers you while driving, trying to turn and see and all that? And you're good with that?
Well, the only, yeah, my neck's not an issue. It's my back.
Okay. Gotcha.
And if my back's out, everything is the shits.
I bet. She, Amy goes on and wants to know what you miss most about being an agent and being on the road.
Nothing. Don't miss a thing.
I knew that was coming.
I can honestly say beyond reproach, I have never woke up since WWE days. I've never woke up and went, God, I wish I could be an agent today. I wish I could be a producer of that. All I have to be responsible for is me.
Yeah. And after so many years of doing it, it's got to be such a relief, man.
I trust me.
Yeah.
I'll know what the right thing is, and I will be able to communicate it to you. Now, whether you go with that or not, that's entirely up with you. But I'm pretty, you know, the one thing that kept me in that job for 25 years or whatever it was, 24 years, is I have one innate ability to be able to spot talent and know what they should or shouldn't do and convey that to them, which is a pretty good talent to have.
And that's why you had such longevity. It speaks volumes. And the talent that you worked with was pretty freaking good.
Yeah. And the honesty of looking at somebody and going, hey, you do this flawlessly. This, not so much. I'd take that out. And having their trust, because I don't do it in a smart ass way, I'm trying to protect them from them.
Hmm.
But if you give them that option and they choose not to do it, where it gets frustrating for me is getting the heat and the responsibility for something in a match that I advised them not to do, and they do it anyway, and now I get the heat for it.
Right.
That's pretty frustrating.
Think about
that for a minute.
Yeah. That sucks. Totally. I get you. Amy is also interested to know if there's anyone in particular that you've been missing that you're looking forward to seeing in Waterloo. We just talked about a couple guys. Anybody that you're looking forward to seeing out there?
All of them.
Yep.
Because I have what I think is at least a pretty fair and good relationship with everybody I've ever came in contact with in the business, with just few exceptions.
The final question, that's the burning question from the last couple of weeks, the entire wrestling community wants answered. And who better to answer the question about a Rhodes than an Anderson? Is Cody going to finish the story, and should he, at WrestleMania?
I certainly hope so.
There you go.
That's all I can say beyond reproach is I certainly hope so.
Sam Lawson says, well-deserved cheers to you on induction to the Hall of Fame. My question is about missed opportunities. Who would you say is the wrestler who had it all, the look, the work rate, mic skills, the tools to be a superstar, but it just didn't work out for him?
Wow. I don't know that there's that many guys that had, in most people's opinion, just glaring tools and didn't make it.
Here's a guy I'm going to throw out to you and get your opinion on. He's a guy that he held the world championship, but he's also a guy that I feel like became just a steady Eddie when everyone thought this guy has the ability. He could have been a multiple time. I don't know. I just felt like he could have always been more in the WWE. He's now in TNA, and that's Dolph Ziggler. What are your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler?
Big fan, because he first and foremost knows the most important thing and the biggest responsibility of every performer that steps through the ropes. Number one, get the match over. If you get the match over, you're ahead of the game. Then, depending on outcome and results and hopes for results, you have the responsibility of getting your opponent over and yourself. So Dolph had that quality. He knew what his job was that night, and he could go out and he could cater to a guy's strengths, cater to his weaknesses as far as, say, let's don't do that. Longevity. He was a guy that didn't get hurt very much, very durable. And, brother, he would go out, and the excitement that he brought to a match was, I thought, exceptional. I'm a big Dolph Ziggler fan.
Yeah, work rate, all of the tools. And it's just not that he wasn't always known as a superstar and all that, but it just felt like as far as status on the card, he could be a guy that should always be on top or right there near the top. But for whatever reason, was just used more of a steady Eddie or to help get guys over for a lot of his time there. Now he's in TNA, and man, he came in like a big star, and I'm so excited for him.
The only thing he was missing was the right guy pulling for him.
Mm.
When you have all the talents that he has and there's something missing, you may look to see who went to bat for him. and who didn't. Because sometimes that can work for you or against you, and I'll leave it at that.
Got it. Sam goes on to say, Arn, the graphic novel is fantastic and was well worth the wait. I can't help but notice you ended on a cliffhanger, so I hope we're going to get a sequel. My question, any comments on that before I move forward?
Well, that's the way most movies that I see, I hope, leave me wanting more, not less. And I hope that's what we did.
There you go. He said, my question is about promo work. I'm sure wrestlers, both past and present, have asked you for promo advice. Can you share a few major points that up-and-coming wrestlers should always include in their promo work? Thanks, and I hope to meet you at the Hall of Fame ceremony in Waterloo this year.
And I look forward to meeting you as well, sir. My biggest piece of advice in short form would be just this. Talk to your audience, not at them. And they will understand you much, much better. If they feel like you're screaming at them, it's a turnoff. But if they feel like you're talking to them and you give them something in everyday life that they can compare what you're trying to, the point you're trying to get across, then they go, oh yeah, I get that. Example, everybody knows if you've been walking down the street with, you know, with your girlfriend or wife or playing grab ass or whatever and not paying attention, when you step off a curve and roll your ankle, everybody sells it the same way. You sit right on your ass, you pull that foot up to you, and you go, don't touch it.
That's right.
There are just some things that we inherently as human beings understand, right?
Yeah.
If you get hit in the nose, what is the first thing that happens? Whether it bleeds or not, your eyes start watering.
Eyes water up, squint, whole nine yards. That's right.
Okay. Well, convey that. Use it. Plug it in. Make it something that everybody understands.
I like it. Matt S. is up next. And Matt, by the way, it was a pleasure to meet you recently. Connected with me on X. And he said, if Arn had to choose one match from his whole career where he felt the most pressure to deliver a great match, which match is it and why?
I always felt the pressure to have the best match I could. I don't know whether it was going to be a great match, but it was the best that I could do and to put the most thought into plugging in their strengths and staying away from their weaknesses. And when it was all said and done, give the audience the feeling that, well, he got beat, but you know what? He made the guy earn it. And they respect that for both parties.
We've covered here on the show, going through your career, a couple of world title match shots. Did you go into those feeling any differently than you had any other shots or matches on pay-per-view? Or do you feel like you approached those a little differently or thought about those a little differently?
The fact that the title was on the line only meant one thing. I needed to get at some point during that match my opponent in trouble to where it looked like he might possibly lose the title. And if you never get the champion who was a babyface, if you never got him in trouble, you didn't give the audience time to get behind him or the opportunity to pull for him. If he was never hurt, never in trouble, and hey, he may lose this thing. That's your responsibility as a heel challenger.
So it was less about pressure. It was more about making sure that you conveyed the right story telling of a title match.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I get you. But that shows that you were just a consummate professional and just focused on what your job was versus, you know, any type of pressure. Brian Haremza has a couple questions. He says, has there ever been a show that once you got done performing, you thought, man, I can't wait to go back and watch this show?
Rockers Saturday Night Main Event.
Okay.
Just the platform was huge. The opponents were huge. everything. I mean, in those days when you were on Saturday Night Main Event, they had an audience that was some ridiculous number. Oh my God. And you knew if you just had enough time, all I prayed for when, and thank God that Dick Ebersol, he liked Tully and I, thank God. And he was the boss of that show. And he would make sure we had enough time to go get it done the few times that we're on that show. And that's the one I couldn't wait to get back and watch.
That's cool. Brian also wants to know, has there been a time when you were in the ring doing your best heel work and you suddenly realize you're being cheered? If so, do you go with it or do you become an even bigger heel to get the crowd to boo you?
Famous story. Do you remember PN News?
Oh, I do. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. Come on.
I called him CN News, which drove him nuts. We're in Philadelphia, and for some reason, maybe it was the nasty arm that they liked, but they like them salty. They like them tough. Look at their sports teams.
Yeah,
you know what people in Philadelphia like and don't like. So I'm out there. Forget about where we are being Philadelphia for a moment. I made the mistake of just doing what I do and going out and making the babyface a better wrestler. That's the story. So if I do poke him in the eye or kick him in the knee or kick him in the gonads, it's because I can't out-wrestle him.
The gonads.
And that part of the story is always important. There's got to be a reason that you do something dastardly. You're not having much luck in a wrestling match. So I'm bouncing around. They did not move. They didn't budge. There was not a sound. So finally I kicked his knee out from under him or something, and the place exploded.
With cheers.
With cheers. With cheers.
It's Billy, baby. Kick that guy's ass.
So I put the boots to him. They're cheering. I missed something. Probably came off the top, which is a mistake for me, as we all know. He turned it around. They went completely silent. He made his comeback with two complete silence. Some little dipsy doodle. He beat me right in the middle.
Doodle.
Silence.
Oh,
I stood up. He had left the ring, and I just looked around, and I just was like,
"Yeah, you did the Jordan shrug."
And they exploded again.
Oh, so good!
Could not control that crowd. They gave you. They were telling me exactly what they wanted, what they would buy. Go ahead, but we want to see you kick his ass, not what you're giving me.
To me, as a fan, that is all. I would have had so much fun being there cheering a heel arm against PN News.
Oh, like, they were having fun. It was a good crowd that night, that's too.
Fun. Oh, I love it. I love it. There's no doubt about why ECW did so well in Philadelphia, baby, the home of Extreme Championship Wrestling.
They locked their violence.
Yeah. The Orange Show's own Dominic D'Angelo. He helps us get this show out to the masses week after week. The big YouTube helper has a follow-up to a previous question he asked you. He said, we touched on the hypothetical that you would rather work a main event program with Attitude Era Austin over the 1980s Hogan, health notwithstanding. What do you think would be an intriguing storyline for you and Stone Cold to feud over?
Now, would this be the Attitude Era Austin?
Oh, yeah. You and Austin. That's who you said you'd rather work a program with. So he wants to know, you and an Attitude Era Austin, what would be a good, intriguing storyline for the two of you?
Oh, God. You couldn't really go wrong with anything with him, right? Any subject matter?
You could go, well, and the only problem is people probably, I don't know that everybody's paying attention to WCW, but it, you could come from the angle like I helped make who you were before you even got here. And you've disrespected me. I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with something. Something about not respecting those who came before you.
No, I think it would have to be more direct. It okay. has to be something that would give me a set of balls for.
Yeah, you got to have
even addressing. There's been speculation over, and we all steal from each other in this business. But there's been speculation that Austin's interview style originated with me, and he took some aspects of it. Of course,
sure.
He had his own verbiage, but his pacing and his, you know, his cut right through the bullshit. Maybe if I walked out on there totally unannounced and busted one of his interviews, and I mean totally unannounced, and just what, you know, said something along the lines of, you know, and I know they might not have caught on yet, but I know where you get your stick. And you know where you get your stick.
Yeah, before there was Austin 316, there was Arn 316, you son of a bitch.
I was saying and doing things that you do 10 years ago and approach it to where they go, whoa. I just didn't have the opportunity to smack my boss in the mouth and get away with it.
Right.
And that's the only advantage that you've got over me.
Fight fire with fire, as the Metallica song says.
You know, to point out, you know, and I have read, you know, over the years that, and I'm flattered and honored if that's the case, that he stole a few things promo-wise.
Yeah.
From me, and maybe not. Maybe he never looked at it as that being the case, but. And if it's not, it's just a strange coincidence, and that's cool too, because I got nothing but love and respect for Steve Austin. He's a great dude and unbelievable the path that he cut through the business, which every one of us benefited from.
But I think from a storyline perspective, it plays where you're headed with that. It would play in terms of you could easily say that. And people could, that would click for people to say, oh, I can see what Arn's saying and be able to develop something out of that.
And don't go the cheap copycat, because that's not what it was. It's just, hey.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have been up and down the road. We've had some conversations, you know, we know what we're talking about. And it's always make him who he is, superstar. It's not. Hey, you're a cheap copycat of me.
Sure. Because
that's a bullshit deal anyway. Nobody's going to buy that. But
yeah. Yeah.
That might be something, Dom.
Yeah, Dom. All right. I'm talking to the mentor here, Arn Anderson. Ad-free shows member, the one Justin Whitley, is up next. And he wrote, would Arn even consider training new wrestlers or maybe even just one besides his son, Brock? Just a curious thought.
Well, I'm helping the students at Lodi School when I'm there. Okay. Not on a full-time basis right now, I don't think. I'm too concerned with the other stuff that we're going, and this is fixing to turn into the hot season. But, you know, anybody that asks me, I will be happy to help them. If I'm in the area of the ring or in backstage or whatever, if they ask, I will do my best to help them. I wish I was physically fit to show them, because I would be showing Brock. And that's the one thing that I hate, is I'm just too beat up and my back is such a question mark every time I step through the ropes. I mean, I was hitting the ropes the other night, and the next day I felt it.
Yeah.
I was actually I never even fell down. I was just hitting the ropes back and forth, trying to show them how to grab it on the way in and tuck it under their arm. And the next day, my back was friggin' sore.
Arn, as a friend, I would say you're at the point where you just need to talk people through stuff. Don't be going and hitting your body on anything.
I understand, and that's what I do, and that's okay, all I'm capable of. I'm not stupid enough to try to show them something.
Yeah, don't be taking any turnbuckle smashes or...
Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Simon C wants to know the best British wrestler you've ever shared a ring with.
Oh, that'd probably be Regal.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. That's when I read that, I thought, man, he's got to go William Regal. That guy, you respected so much what he did in the ring.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of great, you know, wrestlers. The British Bulldogs were good. You know, Les Thornton was an exceptional wrestler, but I didn't work with those guys. I think I was only in the ring with the Bulldogs once or twice.
He asked if you have any memories of working with Chick Donovan.
Oh, yes. Pensacola. When I first went there in 84 for the second time, I was there 3 weeks, did my loop around and came back and was there in 84. He was working there and I broke my ankle working with him.
That's a big time memory. He'll never forget that.
Well, and in those days, it's not like you could take off and get paid.
Oof.
So I went through about 4 or 5 weeks of my ankle taped, heavily taped. And it wasn't something that he did maliciously. It was just a mistake, but it's something you don't forget. When you get hurt like that in the ring, you got to have your wheels. We don't think about our feet until we start trying to walk. And you go, oh, I need that.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember from Chick Donovan.
There you go.
I know I saw a picture of him not too long ago online. Still looks good. He's got to be, he's got to be mid-70s, isn't he?
I'll look him up. I'll ask you the next question, and I'll tell you for sure.
Okay.
I'll look him up here in a minute. Let's go on to Dylan's question. Dylan says, he wants to know what you think of Dustin's legacy will be in the business after his career is all said and done. Is it the natural? Is it gold dust? Dustin's ability and willingness to work with anybody, or is it something else? What do you think his legacy will be, Dustin Rhodes?
Well, the gold dust thing doesn't work unless you can perform, because that's an uncomfortable scenario for some people. As he portrayed that character and some of the sexual risque things that he kind of teased during his matches, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Without being an excellent performer and having a thought process of, okay, how much is too far? How much is just enough? What's a tease? You got to be a smart guy to pull that off. But the natural Dustin Rhodes could go out and have a match with anybody. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you have one without the other as far as the gold dust. I don't know that he could have pulled that off had he not been the performer.
Right. It proved what he's capable of.
He's very versatile.
Yeah.
Yes, long way around. That's what I was trying to get to.
Chick Donovan, circling back on that one, Arn. 76. On March the 7th, he turned 77.
There you go. So, and if there's a picture accompanying it, looks pretty damn good for 77.
Yeah, I don't see a photo, but he's still going strong. And he made his debut in wrestling in 1977. And so there you go. We'll move on. Brad Stanton asking a practical question this week because he is a practical guy. Brad Stanton.
Come on, Brad. You're not practical. Are you?
He considers himself practically perfect in every way. I'm kidding. He's a good dude. And he's a part of a podcast, by the way, Arn. Very entertaining. I think he's probably one of the most entertaining parts of the podcast, Kickout Crew. He says, what are your plans for WrestleMania weekend? Any signings, appearances? Are you doing WrestleCon, WrestleMania?
You bet I am.
There you go.
Certainly am. Brock and I will be there. We're coming in that Thursday before, and we'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all day, every day, pretty much, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be in this area.
Wouldn't miss that one. That would be
That's a staple event for you guys, isn't it? And once a year, every year.
That and WrestleCon.
WrestleCon and then WrestleCade in Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Those two are the biggies. And you get to see a lot of folks during that weekend.
Speaking of WrestleCon, we know that's WrestleMania weekend, which translates right into our next question. Alex Pires Redondo is eager to know your thoughts on The Rock, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns storyline for WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. And as you think about what you want to say, he adds, I wrote this promo for Arn if he was in WWE and how he would reacted to this from Cody. And this is the promo that he wrote thinking this would be you, Arn. There's two big differences between you and I, Cody. The Rock wants to take your WrestleMania 40 main event match with Roman Reigns. And The Rock says, I'm taking your WrestleMania event spot. And you say, okay, take it. Just don't hurt me. You know what I do? I'd pull out the Glock, put it on The Rock's forehead, and spill his brains all over the concrete. Oh, you got to love our fans, Arn Anderson. I mean, how fun was that?
Sick man.
Hey, that's close to the promo you cut when you were in AEW together with him.
Yeah, it was close.
What do you think?
Well, I haven't seen the promo that you talked about that he almost gave his
match away.
He did,
but then he took it back. So now it is set up to be Cody and Roman for the Undisputed Champion championship at WrestleMania as we sit here today and record this. And anything can change, as we've seen. Anything can take a left turn. But as you and I sit and record it today, it is Cody Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, finishing the story.
Well, I would like to hear a convincing about face promo from Cody. Okay, you know, I've always tried to do what I thought wrestling fans wanted. Boy, did I get this wrong. And be firm, pissed, defiant, and pretty much go back to his story. I don't want to win. I don't want to beat Roman. I have to beat Roman.
Yeah.
You know, and that is my legacy. Everything I've done up to this point doesn't matter. And I had one brief moment of bad decision making because I thought, as I've always done, that's not what you wanted to see. You wanted to see Rock and Roman. Well, that ain't the way this goes down. I earned the right. I'm taking the right. When it's all said and done, there'll be no question who the champion is.
Yeah. It's time for me to be selfish. It's time for me to do this for the family.
He needs to nut up. But I think he needs to nut up on his behalf, not so much for the fans or his kid or his wife.
Yeah.
But I'm taking this one for me. This belongs to me. This is mine. It belongs to me.
I've worked too hard, too long. This is mine. Yeah. So, but by the time this airs, guys, because we record two shows at a time, we're in advance of, because Rock and Roman are going to show up on SmackDown. We're recording in advance of all this. So this is where we're at with it. They had a press conference. Rock and Roman and Seth and Cody were on stage. They all ended up in a four-way right before the Super Bowl, Arn. They had like almost a movie-style promo, teaser, a trailer. And it's the four of them facing off. So there's going to be, and it was cool. I'm telling you, it's cool with what they're doing. Those four staring each other down. So it's hard to see the twists and turns that are going to take. But as of right now, it is Cody and Roman, but it is the buzz of the wrestling world. So we'll see what happens. But your guy, Cody, who you've long since loved and had a great friendship with, is at the dead center of WrestleMania 40. A anniversary WrestleMania going into the main event. And you have to be very happy for your guy, Cody.
Cody broke me out of mothballs and let me enjoy, in the time I was with him, let me enjoy the business again. When I was completely burnt out on the backstage part of it, I was never burnt out on the performance side of it. So he made that happen. Thank yous to Tony Khan. Thank you to Cody. I mean, once again, they allowed me to enjoy the business again and love the business, which I've always loved the wrestling part of it. I just, not too much on the politics.
Right. That part burns you out. No doubt about it.
And it really does. It just consumes you. And so I will be eternally grateful. I'll bounce one off of you if you want to make it interesting. Fatal four-way, winner take all, consolidate the two titles.
That's a good one. Here, I'll bounce one off you. Is that okay since we're doing this?
You betcha.
Because I've had some guys hit me up and throw some ideas out. Night one, because there's two nights of WrestleMania. Night one, you have a tag match. You have Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. With the winner, there's a stipulation, right? So Rock and Roman go over, and now they get to say who's the special referee of the Cody-Roman match the next night. Rock and Roman go over night one. Rock is now saying, I'm going to be the special guest referee. Now, right now, Rock's kind of playing a heel because he's the one who stole Cody's match, supposedly. Rock goes into referee on night two. It's Cody. It's Roman. Here comes Roman's boy, Solo, and whatever, interfere. Rock says, we're not doing it this way. Does the old Tyson turn and throws out Sokoa, throws out, you know, the other Samoan, says it's not going down that way. Counts the three on Roman. Cody raises the title. He's the champ. Rock's raising his hand. He's a babyface once again because he made the right decision. And now at SummerSlam, you have the head of the table match, Roman Reigns versus The Rock, with The Rock as the babyface. But you still got Cody winning the title as champion. That's one of the ones I'm seeing going around. What do you think of that? That's very detailed, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of thought went into that.
I know.
I would just say this is like a rule of thumb and something that I've learned over the years. And I think I'm pretty close to being right. If you really want to make a baby face and move him to the next level, he wins with his finish.
Okay. Clean, but still with The Rock counting the three?
It may take to nope.
Okay.
I go back to the fatal four way.
Okay.
And now you have that consolidation. The winner, you consolidate the championships. You only have one. Each time, if you have that going in, think about this and building the match. Every time Roman gets covered by somebody, there's a mad scramble to make a save.
Yeah.
Every time Seth gets covered by somebody, there's a mad scramble to make a save. So they're having to save each other because they can lose their championship without losing the fall.
That would create for one hell of an exciting match.
I mean, that's one you could go 30 minutes.
Yeah, easily.
You know, that's just a thought, but it shouldn't be anything backhanded or off the wall. When Cody, if he's going to fulfill his dream, he needs to do it with his finish, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I like it.
And if I'm the other guy that gets beat, I want to get beat not by a roll-up with a handful of tights. I want to get beat by your best stuff. What is your best move? And that's what you're going to beat me with. Not something cross-body roll through handful of tights. That don't work. I want to hear the one. I want to see it. I know that's it. And hear 1, 2, 3. New champion.
Good shit. This is good stuff. And I'm glad that you embellished us with some of this current product. I know we don't normally get into it, but man, this is good. This is what people are interested in talking about right now. We're hot in the WrestleMania season. So thank you for doing that. Nick Lenz asked Arn, if you were cast in a movie or TV show as a mentor or boss, What genre would you like to be in? Are you a mob boss? Are you a...
How about Al Bundy's boss at the shoe store?
I didn't see that coming.
That's the greatest show that was ever on TV.
Oh, so good. Oh, man, that put Fox on the map, that and Simpsons. I mean, I'm like, I was just watching that. Yeah.
The writers were so clever. The characters were so clear and so distinct. It was awesome.
There you go. Make him the boss of Al Bundy at the shoe store.
Yeah, he would just pop in, not every episode, say every third episode, and turn something around or bust Al from looking at the wrong lady's legs or whatever.
Right. Might be.
There were unlimited entertainment value.
Drew Landry with a fun hypothetical. What would be a match you would love to relive? Go back in time and be in that arena one more time and relive that feeling.
Let me come back to that one.
Okay. Drew also said, how much of a difference would Jim Cornette be as the Horseman's manager than J.J. Dillon?
Jimmy would thrive in any capacity with anybody. I just think J.J. fit the gimmick a lot better. The suit, the whole deal.
The debonair approach. He was a little bit,
articulate, you know. J.J. cut a hell of a promo, and he make you think he was the president of MGM, and you wouldn't doubt it. You know, he just had that. Jimmy was that sleazy manager that would hit a guy with a tennis racket from behind and dress on purpose in loud clothing, irritating clothing. Like, Jesus Christ, did he really pick that out and put it on purpose? He understood getting heat.
J.J. Dillon had more of that executive presence type feel as the leader of a horseman, which you needed, the Rolex wearing, styling suits and all that.
J.J. could take a 2-minute promo that we were all standing there and do the whole thing. And when it was over, you did not feel cheated that you didn't hear from any of us.
Wow. That's cool.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was good. Adam Krasnoff with a question we all want to know the answer to. How difficult was it to hold back laughter when Mean Gene would interject his dry humor into interviews? One of my favorite comedic moments was when Gene was holding a supposed press conference hyping Starrcade 93 to take place at the Charlotte Coliseum. He's maintaining a straight face while exaggerating a list of places that got outbid to host Starrcade that year. Gene claimed the bids were submitted from all over the world, including the United Kingdom, Japan, South Africa, and Brazil, as well as such major American cities as, and I quote, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Des Moines, Iowa. Arn, what did you think about Gene and his comedic timing?
Gene Oakland is a national treasure. I hope he's revered that way by every wrestling fan. One of the most articulate, quick-witted. Him and Bobby Heenan playing off each other was platinum. But Gene Oakland was every bit as dry and funny as Bobby was, really, in his own way.
Yeah.
You just had to listen, because Gene would say it with a straight face. You know it was tongue-in-cheek with Bobby. But Gene would just... I mean, he could read the phone book and you'd start laughing because you knew he's full of shit.
To think both of those guys came out of the Vern Gagne territory, too. I mean, two talented guys like that. Both came from that territory.
Let's don't forget Nick Bockwinkel.
Well, yeah.
Same.
The talent that came out of that territory is ridiculous.
You're not kidding.
Adam also wants to know if you can talk about what travel was like for the annual Sturgis pay-per-views, Hog Wild, then renamed Road Wild. Do you have any memorable stories to share from those events? On a Tuesday with the Taskmaster episode, Sullivan said that you were his travel partner for those trips.
Rotten hotel. There were no Marriott properties, but it was Red Roof, Comfort Inn, whatever.
Budget Inn.
Budget Inn. Some places with no name. Just said motel. You know, we were not in the upper crust of, you know, with the brass to be put up somewhere special, I don't think. And it was no, I felt bad for the women because in the trailers, bathrooms didn't work. Some of them, you'd have to go to the public bathroom inside the arena that was right there. And, you know, that would had all the fans roaming around. I mean, you didn't have a choice. You had to use a bathroom somewhere.
You're like, can I have an autograph? You're like, can I take a piss first? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it was not the best facilities. Just put it to you that way.
Yeah. So was Sullivan a highlight, though, at least doing it with him, traveling with him?
We laugh. We made our own fun. We'd laugh at each other. And he had, brother. You know, he had that Boston.
Oh, well, Boston. Hell, I know all about it, buddy. Hell, I know all about it.
We're going to have to do a show together somewhere.
We are. The three of us are going to get together, and you're going to hear about every stat from every Carl Yastrzemski reference and hit and at-bat and boxer.
And he'll be right. He'll be right on most of it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100% right.
We're going to have a shirt called Educate Us, hashtag Educate Us. Because, man, when he starts talking, he's like, Paul, did you ever hear? And I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're going to say next. But no, I never heard about it. Please educate us.
Well, when we get to that episode, I'll give you more insight as to how we really became friends and what a day looks like and, you know, what the situation was. But we'll save that for its own episode.
I can't wait. Travis Babcock, who told us about some of the logistics of the Hall of Fame, has a question for you. He said, Arn, I'm sorry to bring up a possibly sore subject, but I recently rewatched the episode of Raw where Austin pissed on you, and I have a two-part question. Whose idea was that, and how did Austin feel about having to do it? Thanks for answering my question.
He didn't like it, and Jack Lanza didn't like it, who was the agent in charge of producing it. That's what Vince does. Mm-mm-mm. If you leave him, which we did, you know, Tully and I were the first ones to break the contract when we're up there wrestling in 88. Right.
Yeah.
So we left and it sparked a firestorm, which he never forgot. So I came back in the capacity as an agent. And he did an angle with Flair, and that was the deal. So I was the catalyst to get whatever, do something. I would say get heat on me because everyone knows I was Rick's best friend. But Lanza didn't like it, and Austin didn't like it. And they told me they went to Vince, and he said, no, it'll be great. It was his way of paying me back for leaving him.
Thomas Conifray, Arn, let's do two more questions, is up next. Would Arn recommend the job of wrestling agent to any retired wrestlers? It sounds like it is a very hard grind with as much travel as the wrestling crew.
Yeah, it is. But I would never say don't take that job. We need veterans and guys that have been in the business and seen the business evolve and are current in the business. Plus they know what was current 20 years ago. You need that knowledge. We as veterans have to pass that knowledge on to the young guys and say, hey, I know this is a different time, but here's the way we did it. It's been so long. You can get away with it. Here's something. They need guidance and they need to be saved from themselves sometimes. That makes sense.
It does. It does. Arn, our final question comes from Yambag Jones. You've heard his name before, right? On the show. Yambag. Yeah. He cannot help himself. This guy, he just has to go there every time. He says, love yarn, but I got to ask, would you rather wrestle Elegante in a 60-minute Iron Man match or Cactus Jack in an exploding barbed wire death match?
Boy, he really don't get, this cat don't give you a way out, does he?
He sure doesn't. That's our yam bag. He don't give you a way out. I mean, exploding barbed wire death match or a 60-minute Iron Man match with Elegante? Buddy.
Well, knowing that he was not in the best of shape, ring shape, cardiovascular shape, I think I could actually put on my roller skates and run Elegante to death and then double back and stomp his brains out if I had an hour to pull it off.
Yeah.
That exploding shit. There's really no way to gauge how something's going to explode, is there?
No, there's not. And, buddy, why would you even risk falling into barbed wire? No way. Elegante, I feel like you get him off his legs. He'll, like you said, he'll lay there, and you can just sit in the corner and count it down.
Yeah, I mean, I know he couldn't breathe, that's for sure, because he never had to. It's probably why he failed at basketball. Man, you got to go up and down that court. Those guys are in cardiovascular excellence.
Yambag, back to the drawing board for you for more Elegante shit. And I'm sure we'll get more opportunities again on the next Ask Arn. That's going to wrap us up for the February edition. If your question didn't get asked, no worries. We're saving them all. I have pages of questions here that I supply to the research guy, Andrew Hermes, and he'll make sure that I get those back. Lots of great questions, lots of great content. But as we get out of here this week, don't forget that Arn Anderson, My Life is the Enforcer, the comic is available wherever you find books. All the orders have been shipped out, and the Kickstarter campaign was an enormous success. Arn will have these books in hand at all appearances and wants to hear what you think about them and is going to sign them for you. Isn't that right, Arn?
Absolutely, 100%. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for everybody that waited all that time. It was out of our control, but everyone was really patient. I appreciate it very much. I hope you enjoy it. Most people are saying it's a one read. Sit down and
it is, yeah,
and just read it through and, you know, be wanting more when it's over instead of less, which was the goal.
Guys, listen, if your business targets that 25 to 54 year old demographic, there's no better place to advertise than right here on the Arn Show. And you can do that by going to advertisewitharn.com right now. Fill out a little bit of that information, and Arn and I will put together a great ad read for you and make sure that we tell our audience all about your product or service. So check it out, advertisewitharn.com, and we'd be happy to make sure that we fill in the audience on your product or service and tell them all about it. So check it out. Very little waste. And we do have that super targeted audience. So check it out now. Arn, next week, we're returning back to the walk through your career. We're going to August 1994, how you really messed up now by turning on Dustin. Dusty makes his return to the team with his son, giving one of the best promos of the year, where he calls you, my friend, a walk behinder. Ricky Steamboat suffers a career-ending injury. This is going to be huge. Hulk wrestles Flair in a rematch, and a masked man attacks the new world champion. We're going to cover it all next week right here on the Arn Show. Arn, thank you so much for doing this Ask Arn with me this week.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody that put their questions in. I did me best.
You did a great job. Arn, before we get out of here, I wanted to circle back with you on that question from Drew Landry. Is there that one match that you would go back in time and like to revisit if you could? I had that in the back of my mind, just thought of it before we wrapped up. You said, come back to it. Is there that one point in time you'd like to go back to?
The first match I ever had, Albertville, Alabama, 50 people, maybe 100. I got chopped up like chop suey. And got paid off in hot dogs.
Ooh, that doesn't sound like a bad payoff right now. I could eat a few hot dogs.
Three hot dogs, four hot dogs, whatever it was. The promoter came up after just witnessing me get the shit kicked out of me solid for 7-8 minutes, said, well, you know, house is downed. Sorry, can't afford to pay you this week, but I know you got to eat, so here. And actually handed me four hot dogs.
Wow.
And guess what? Halfway what? Home, I ate them.
Oh, yeah. Any toppings on those hot dogs? Nah, nope. just
didn't
bun and
need
dog.
Didn't need them.
There you go. Well, guys, on behalf of your hot dog eating champion, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week on another episode of... Arn!